This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual. The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon. You and I are just
hey,
like
good morning. A little Frankie for you on a Tuesday morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, my buddy, we thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, September 15th. Yeah, halfway through the month already. In a few minutes, Joel Zinberg will join us. He is of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about ending time-delaying regulations in the pursuit of the COVID vaccine. And by the way, President Trump, did you hear him this morning? He said we might be just weeks away from a vaccine. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But if he says we might have one available within weeks, is that just more political hype? Is it based on fact? We're going to talk about all of that and about other things that Trump has been saying lately with our buddy, the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi. Stick around for him. And speaking about all of that, does the media amplify the, what do you want to call it, the untruths or the exaggerations of Trump while diminishing the lies of Biden? You think Biden is an altar boy when it comes to telling the truth? We are going to take a look at that whole scenario later on in the show. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, I know the virus has been slowing everybody in the world down, but we're going to look at the top 10 countries with the most competitive economies. Now, that is going to kind of be overall, you know, without the virus kind of interfering. And hopefully, when we get back to normal, these numbers will be a little bit more accurate. Right now, everything is up for grabs. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Best haircut for you guys in Tampa Bay, I guarantee it. You will find out if you go there, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, on Overcash Drive, just north. You can walk to it from the corner of Overcash and State Road 580. But you got to dial in and get your reservation first. You know the rules, 727-733-3773, 733-3773. Well, with 50 days to go now, can you believe it's only 50 days from today? Today is a Tuesday, right? And the election will be November the 3rd. That's a Tuesday. It still looks like Biden is up on Trump. Now, we can say, well, it's a fluke, this, that. But when you have all the different polls and they all show Biden ahead, then maybe there's some truth to it. But the contest between Biden and Trump has tightened over the past month. And Team Trump continues to say that Trump's doing better than the polls let on. And that's been the big kind of hope of Republicans, that somehow people are being intimidated into saying they're going to vote for Biden rather than Trump. Well, we'll find out, right? The former vice president leads Trump by 7.4 points, according to the average of the so-called polls you can believe in, trusted polls, I guess. And that goes under the moniker of Real Clear Politics. They take all of these polls and they say that right now, 7.4 is down from 7.7 a month ago, which is not a lot, is it? 7.7. But it was 8.8 in differential 2 months ago. So we can see it's definitely getting closer and closer as we go along. The new average includes a Fox News poll, which was released Sunday, that shows Biden ahead 51-46% among likely voters. That's close. 5% is very close. Now, when Biden gets up there and has to answer a question without a teleprompter, to me, that's going to be the real difference. And he's going to have to perform for what? About 2-3 hours in that first debate? I don't think that Chris Wallace, the moderator, is going to give Biden the questions ahead of time. I hope he won't. So Biden's going to have to think. But not only think, he's going to have to talk. Now, we know Trump can talk and talk and talk, but can Biden do it? We'll see, right?
You know, even if he gave the questions, I don't think it would matter.
You think that it was...
I don't think he can focus that long. That's the problem. If you look at his rallies that he his supposedly rallies, how he tends
rallies?
To drift. Well,
he was in a cornfield
anything
the
more
other
than
day,
five people is a rally. Five people in four trucks is a rally.
True.
So anything like that, he tends to just wander. And I hate to correct you, Paul, but there are 49 days left.
I'm going you know, to resign my position as a broadcaster on this station.
A day feels like a month in this election, so.
You're correct, sir, 49. You would do that to me, wouldn't you? You would do that to me. Well, let's put it this way. It's a Tuesday. I hope I'm right on that.
Yep.
And that's about 7 weeks away from today.
But people said, oh, God, thank God it's not 50 days. It's 49 days.
Oops. You're right. It is 49. That's true. That's true. So if my math is right, am I right? 7 weeks. We got 7 weeks right now. Okay. It's getting very close. I'm talking about the time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the divide. So here's some interesting things, because we can't go on a national how much. Well, I mean, Hillary might have indeed had more votes. She still ended up losing the election because of the Electoral College. So we got to look at the important states. So Biden is, according to the Real Clear Politics, Biden is ahead in Florida by 1.2%. 1.2. That's very close, right? That's within the, I would say, the margin of error. Florida, our beloved Florida, is probably the most important state for either one of them to capture, if you think about it. Because a lot of the other states, like New York and California, the other two big ones, and Texas, we kind of know what's going on there, right? We know Texas is going to go to Trump. We know California, or, well, Andrew doesn't know it, but we kind of think that California will go, despite all the fires and everything else, probably for Biden. Probably. And New York is probably going to go for Biden. So Florida becomes the most populous state, the one with the most electoral votes that we have to watch. So 1.2% right now for Biden. Biden is up by 4.3% in Pennsylvania. Now, Trump won Pennsylvania from Hillary. But the good news is that is down from a 5.7-point lead a month ago. Pennsylvania, it would seem to me, with all of the mining and everything else and the coal, those and the unions, I think that there's a good chance that Trump carries it.
But you have to remember that when Hillary won, thought she was going to slam dunk that state. And remember, I drove through Pennsylvania, saw nothing but Trump signs.
Yes, I do remember that.
And look
what
happened.
And that was a foreboding of what was about to occur.
That was one of the states that her jaw was on the floor.
Biden is ahead by 4.2 in Michigan, almost the identical amount from Pennsylvania. But it's down from 6.3 a month ago. So you see, it is tightening. Wisconsin. Biden leads by 6.3 points. And that's virtually unchanged from a month ago, okay? So those are the ones you got to watch, right? But in the meantime, Trump is going to Nevada. He thinks he's got a chance to win there. And if he can win that state, which will be close, I think, that's one more. He's got to win Ohio, for sure. Ohio is like they call Ohio, whoever wins Ohio. Now, the Republicans typically do win Ohio. But it's a close one there, too. So there's a lot of variables going on. But one thing is for sure. And that is that the race is tightening. And nobody can dispute that. Okay, we're going to take our break. You know this, we're all waiting for the vaccine, aren't we? Waiting. Well, does the FDA actually slow things down when it comes to getting that thing out on the market? We'll talk with Joel Zinberg about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
We are back and delighted to have Dr. Joel Zinberg back with us. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he has penned a piece along with Gregory Conco about ending counterproductive, counterintuitive regulations when it regards this fight and pursuit of the COVID vaccine. Joel, welcome back. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good morning.
Yeah, our
How
pleasure.
Are you?
We're good. We're very good. And, you know, we're all waiting with bated breath. I heard President Trump this morning, but you don't know if he's exaggerating it, but he said, you know, we may have a vaccine, he said, within weeks. So, you know, we're all hoping, and of course, Trump does push the fact that he has tried to deregulate, including the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. Has he succeeded in speeding things up, and do we still have a ways to go?
Well, he has succeeded to some extent. We do have some ways to go, but I can tell you certain things. Drug prices are now lower because of deregulation at the FDA that made it easier to get new generic drugs on the market. So now drug prices are lower. And the article specifically wrote about deregulation dealing with the development of testing for the COVID virus. So, you know, what we wrote about on that article was how the FDA has broad authority to regulate medical devices, which includes pre-market review of diagnostic test kits when they're made by one entity, like a big drug company, and shipped to many laboratories for use. But the FDA has also, for many years, claimed that they have the authority to review what are called laboratory-developed tests, which are tests developed, produced, and used within a single laboratory, except the FDA never does. And most of the time, that's a good thing that they don't do it. Because
right.
when the first COVID tests were detected in the United States in January, you had several highly regarded academic and hospital laboratories wanted to develop and use tests for the new coronavirus. But at a time when testing was urgently needed, the FDA counterintuitively insisted that no test could be used without its say-so. And that usually means lengthy pre-market approval and clearance. And even though they had, because of the public health emergency, a faster way of approving tests through pre-market, through emergency use authorizations, the only authorization they gave through that entire month of February was for a CDC-developed test that was defective. So what the administration has done is it's instructed the FDA to stop regulating the laboratory-developed tests until they go through the usual type of regulatory process of what's called notice and comment rulemaking, and they put out a well-reasoned set of criteria about when and if they're going to regulate these things.
You know, politics inevitably enters the fray. We've got Nancy Pelosi, and you refer to this, chiding the Trump administration and its response to demand more testing, testing, testing. And then you got Kamala Harris and Joe Biden saying they're not sure that they would trust if the vaccine came out and Trump, because it might have been hurried out. I mean, you make people kind of worried about it. Do you think Democrats and Republicans would actually play around with something like this just for the sake of a vote or two?
Well, I think you've described that certain Democrats are playing around. I mean, they really want it both ways. They want to complain that the administration isn't moving fast enough in its response to the coronavirus. But when the administration moves faster by things like Operation Warp Speed, which has greatly accelerated the development of vaccines. I mean, vaccines normally take years and years and billions of dollars to develop, and now you have within just about the space of, say, 6-7 months, about half dozen vaccines in advanced stage testing. But now that, you know, these folks want to complain that that's too fast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always, and this goes for years, years and years ago, I've always wondered about how, if we didn't have an FDA, if we could erase it, if it would have changed anything and maybe brought some good drugs to the forefront and out on the market even sooner. I wonder if the FDA, maybe like certain other agencies, do more harm than good. What would you say to that?
No, I think that's I wouldn't go that far. I think the FDA actually, you know, does a lot of good and makes sure it safeguards us from some pretty dangerous drugs, you know, that could harm you, and mm-hmm. It ensures that the drugs are effective. But there are circumstances when it's important to develop things quickly. So, for example, when you have an emergent infectious disease, like we have with this new coronavirus, we need testing to be available in the lag time before the FDA can do its usual approval. And when you have a situation where the FDA insists that it has to go through a lengthy process and it won't allow other tests on the market, that's counterproductive. So those are situations. I mean, there are definite situations where we can improve FDA performance. Mm-hmm. And I think you've seen some of that in the administration.
Yes, indeed.
As I referred to earlier, they have really, under Dr. Gottlieb's leadership at the FDA, they accelerated their drug approval process. So we got things on the market much quicker, and that leads to competition, and that leads to lower drug prices. And so for the first time in several decades, you actually had a fall in drug prices under the Trump administration.
Wow. We're talking with Dr. Joel Zinberg. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He has penned a piece, I think it's for The Hill, Ending Counterproductive, Counterintuitive Regulations. Very, very important at this time to do so. But Joel, there is politics in the FDA. There is politics in all of the agencies. It's just inevitable. You can't, you know, I mean, a president is going to appoint people to agencies like that, you know, are going to subscribe to his way of thinking. So it is a political animal. And then you worry about, and you know this, that there have been a lot of drugs over the years that maybe could have gotten to market a little bit sooner, but there were these regulatory delays. And then we always say, well, gee, how many more people could have been healed, you know, because but for the FDA? And your thought about all of that?
Well, you know, as I said before, I think the FDA performs an important function. Could it perform it more expeditiously? Yes. And I think there are, you know, a variety of ideas that the administration has put forward and hopefully will continue to do if there's a second term, that will make the agency work faster and better for the American people. So, you know, I think definitely the agency has improved over the last 3.5 years, and hopefully it's going to continue to do so in the future.
Do you know how this works? In other words, we got all of these different labs and drug companies kind of working on a vaccine. So I guess we hope that one of them says, hey, I got it, we got it, we got it. You know, we did the testing and everything's good. So do they then run it by the FDA to get the imprimatur?
Yes, they're going to have to run it by the FDA. But what's happened now because of the public health emergency is there's this expedited process called emergency use authorization. So the FDA can approve the vaccine without going through the lengthy process that it normally does, so to get it out on the market quicker, with the understanding that they're going to continue to monitor very closely after the vaccine's out on the market to look for any side effects or complications that weren't uncovered during the trial testing that they had. So there is something in place, you know, it has to be approved by the FDA, but we are in a situation where the FDA can do it quicker. And, you know, that's something that's good. We need a vaccine as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
You know, Nancy Pelosi and company shouldn't be criticizing that.
Exactly. So if you do you have a crystal ball on this? When do you think? Do you think we're going to have it actually available, say, before the end of the year?
I do not have a crystal ball.
Oh, doggone it.
I can tell you that several of the companies are in very advanced stages. Well, you know, there are 3 stages, phase 1, 2, and 3 of testing, and they're well into phase 3. And, you know, you could have enough preliminary results, particularly if the vaccine works extremely well, because then it would be more apparent to people at the FDA that the thing works and they can do one of these emergency authorizations. So I think we are probably looking at somewhere towards the end of this year, early 2021.
Okay. I think a lot of people agree with you on that. But here's President Trump. He says, in terms of the vaccine, I'm not doing it for political reasons. I want it fast. Let's see here. I speeded up the process with the FDA. We're going to have a vaccine in a matter of weeks. He said it could be 4 weeks. It could be 8 weeks. Well, okay, Mr. President, it could be 52 weeks, too. You know? We can say it that way. But so, you know, is he not being a little bit political?
Well, no, I think he's trying to be optimistic.
Yes.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Okay.
Not
getting our hopes up.
I don't think he's misleading anyone.
No.
There, I think people understand.
But he does tend to exaggerate a little bit, doesn't he? A little bit, once in a while.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I think, as you point out, he's not being inaccurate.
Yes, I guess he's not. And I do think he has to be
positive. The reality is, as I mentioned before, the progress we've made on vaccines is really remarkable and unprecedented. You have never developed a vaccine for a new disease this fast, ever. So, you know, I think he has reason to be optimistic. He has reason to exaggerate a little bit because, you know, the performance has been so remarkable to date.
Yeah. So he has slimmed down. The FDA made it a little bit more efficient. They're moving a little bit better, and we can be very hopeful, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Joel, it's a pleasure to have you again, and always feel good when I talk with you because you know a lot and make us feel comfortable with what is going on. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
All right, sir.
Stay well.
I will, and the same to you. Dr. Joel Zinber, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, why don't we bring in the proprietor of the barber pole? Let's talk a little bit about whether or not we're going to get that vaccine sooner rather than later.
Guess you better slow than Mustang down.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. You know, do you ever listen to Fox and Friends, Ed? I know you're doing, work here, but Trump is on like every other day with them. I must really boost their ratings to have, and they'll talk with them for like 20, 25 minutes, you know?
Well...
So must
they don't call it Fox and Friends for nothing.
That's
I guess.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. So this morning he was on, and he was talking among other things about the vaccine, and he says that there's a chance. He says, of course, I speeded up the process with the FDA, and then he says we're going to have a vaccine in a matter of weeks. Now, that makes everybody's ears perk up. I'm sure we would all love to have it in a matter of weeks. But then he said it could be 4 weeks, could be 8 weeks. So we've got the Master Barber with us. Andrew, do you think we're going to have a vaccine really within, say, a couple of months, ready to go?
Hey, Paul, you know, the guy's done miracles, hasn't he?
I guess.
He's done miracles with everything. And, you know, he put the pressure on him. Do you know he's even got distribution centers already picked out for this vaccine when it comes out?
Does he?
Yep. Yes.
That's good. Yeah, it does.
I'm going to be honest with you. Personally, myself, I'm not getting no vaccine.
You're not?
Hell no.
Why not? What if
it does? You know, one of my arms could fall off, one of my legs. You know, 65 years old. I'm not taking no chances for nothing today.
You could have lockjaw.
Yeah, you could.
Well,
you
the last have, thing. Oh.
You don't have to be the first in line. We're going to put Nancy Pelosi first.
Yeah. She's going to get double.
She's going to take a shot in the rear end. We'll see whether or not it helps her. Okay?
Yeah, we'll let her go first.
Yeah, we'll let her
go. I'm not too worried about it, Paul, to be honest
okay.
with you. I mean, they could have probably just mixed some sugar with water and inject you in it until you were getting the vaccine, yeah. And the results probably would still be what we got now.
Yeah, and you feel good. You know, it'd be psychological. Yeah. Speaking about all of that, I saw Joe Biden. It looked like he was in a cornfield yesterday.
That's where he belongs.
And he was talking to somebody, I guess. He was, of course, reading it. His eyes were squinting so much, I thought they were going to close. But he had to keep them open because he was reading the teleprompter.
Paul, what I want, he didn't even ask. Nobody asked him any questions. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God, no.
He just started reading off the teleprompter.
Well,
what I want to know is when he comes to the debate, and he, supposedly he's not going to have the questions ahead of time,
right.
Is somebody else going to be answering the questions, typing real fast on the teleprompter for him, or what?
I think there might be something to that. But you remember, what will happen probably is when the questions come, he'll slap that mask back on, stand real close to the curtain behind him, right? So you don't know that it's him that's talking, and there'll be there'll be somebody else behind the curtain answering the question.
They had a little spoof on the computer this morning. They had Biden, you know, and he's giving his speech at the cornfield, and he's sitting there saying, "I didn't rape that woman." And then you got Bill Clinton laughing underneath saying, "I typed that on his
teleprompter." That's funny.
It's hysterical.
That is hysterical. Well, the only thing that would have asked him a question over there would probably be one of the cows, because he was so far out in the country doing this. I don't think there were any reporters.
Well, these polls, man, come on.
Okay.
There is no way, no how, that Biden even has a 1.2% lead ahead of Trump in Florida. No. No. I'd like to go today where he's coming over in Tampa, okay?
Okay.
I would love to go there today. I guess it's Tampa College or something. I can guarantee you all the Trump people are going to be there.
He'll be at Tampa University, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 o'clock. And I'd be really anxious to see how many people are out there with Biden signs to greet him. I would be willing to bet on it there won't be more than 10.
Yeah.
I would guarantee you there's more Trump people to greet him there.
Now, I don't get around a lot, but I have not seen one Biden sign. Have you seen any, Ed?
I've seen a couple of them, yeah. Paul, look at the Hispanic votes.
Yeah, but you're looking for them.
Look at the Hispanic votes that are coming in for Trump, the Latinos, okay? The blacks. I mean, you saw the Rasmussen, right?
There is indeed an uptick, especially in the Hispanic community. He has a chance to do very well, and I do believe so. Yes, I think the black vote is going to be decidedly higher than people expect.
Well, and I'm still saying California is going to go.
Now
I'm telling you there's a possibility in New York, too, right now.
Oh, my God. There I let go of your hand, because you're on your own on those two. I hope you're right.
But I'm telling you. I really believe it's going to happen, Paul. Yeah.
Well, maybe you're taking the same drug that Joe Biden is taking. I'm not sure about this.
Well, people are fed up. You know, okay. Look at Florida. Look at California. They got these people setting all these wildfires. You got
well,
Biden,
not every one there. Of them now. Not every
you
one
know,
of
they
them.
They got like 9 people so far that they've caught setting these things. They caught a guy yesterday to throw a Molotov cocktail. A woman caught him in his yard, held him at gunpoint.
Yeah, there are some nuts out there that are doing it. You're right. And,
okay,
and
people are fed up with this, Paul, even in California.
So Trump actually had the governor Newsom of California. Did you know that they were talking?
And Newsom thanked him. He kissed his rear end really well.
Governor Newsom came on, and he was sitting there at the table. He had a mask on, by the way, which was nice. And they were talking a little bit about climate change. And, of course, Newsom wanted to talk a little bit more about how climate change is affecting California. I'm thinking, well, you can't blame Trump. You guys have been having trouble there with water and fires for how long?
No, they've messed up the irrigation for the farmers to save this little crab or something. And they deflected all the water coming down off of the mountains. They didn't take care of their forest properly. The dead leaves, dead branches, they set fire real easy. They needed to clean this stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Poor forestry management. Isn't it amazing how Trump is always everywhere? He's there. He was in Nevada. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be in either Louisiana or Mississippi or both after this.
He'll be there probably tomorrow after this thing passes.
For this horrible storm that's going up there. He's going to be there. Nobody can complain. What I mean to say is nobody can complain that he doesn't give it. Whether you agree with what he does or how he says he does, you cannot dispute that he does. He goes.
He does.
Yeah.
He's there. He's there. Paul, that's what I'm telling you. Even Newsom talking the way he was talking yesterday with Trump. I mean, there's a possibility. I mean, you heard this guy talking bad before about him. He could have not one good word to say, but yet he was there, wasn't he?
He did actually say that Trump was quick to give them disaster relief. And he did, to his credit, say that. And Trump echoed it, of course, that he did say it. But Trump is trying. I mean, that's the thing. Nobody can say that Trump isn't ready to hand out whatever is necessary financially to help states. He's been there for everybody when necessary.
He's done
necessary.
It for everything for everybody, Paul.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be a landslide. Biden campaign's got 600 attorneys. They're going to contest the election. I mean, come on. People are fed up with it.
Now, I've had... And we've talked about this, I think. I have people in my family that won't talk to each other when it comes to politics. I have people that I just heard from somebody that said her relationship that went back to grade school with these other women as friends has been broken apparently irretrievably because of their politics. Why can't we separate politics from friendship? Apparently we cannot do that anymore.
You know why? Because everything is involved with the politics. The sports are involved with it. The stores are involved with it. The newspapers are involved with it. Everything is involved with it, Paul.
That's true.
This world right now is revolving around the politics in this country, and people are laughing at us what's going on.
I'm glad you brought up the sports, because it now brings to mind, did you know that LeBron James has been challenged by a guy to match reward money for information on the shooting of those two deputies in California? You know where they were?
Someone put a $100,000 bounty on their head.
You have a video of this fool, this monster, walking up to that police car and firing through the window, or maybe the window was open, hitting each of them in the head. One of them was a woman. Thank God they're still alive, but I'm sure they'll never be the same. But so this guy wants LeBron to match the money for the reward. It'll be interesting to see if LeBron James, who's currently considered the best there is in basketball, will take up that arrangement. What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do nothing. He's just going to lay back and talk the foolish talk that he talks all the time. I got no faith in that guy whatsoever. He's a piece of poop.
Okay. you're just like Trump. Do you know that? You come out and say exactly what you feel. So are you watching any football ever? Oh, of course, you're not a big sports fan, I guess, but is it because of the taking a knee or not showing up for the national anthem?
Well, I used to watch football all the time.
Okay.
Okay, I used to look forward to watching the Bucks and stuff on Sundays. I'd put my television out by the pool.
Okay.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I will not waste my time. I told you I had an argument with my son about this stuff.
Yes,
on the weekend.
You did.
It was terrible, but, you know, I feel bad for arguing with him, but, you know, what are you going to do?
So now, but you're still talking with your son about all of this, or has this...
Well, I don't know. He hasn't talked to me in 2 days yet, so I don't know.
Wow. Goodness. Okay.
But it's all because of football this time.
You know what's
I mean, I got him upset with basketball because he loved LeBron James. That was his hero.
Okay.
And I got him all upset with that one, but that was it. When I went after football for him, man, he couldn't take no more.
Wow.
Yeah, he cut loose on me.
Speaking about all of the, you know, all of this, do you think that more people will vote for president overall in this election than ever before? I kind of think they will.
Yep, I believe it. And like I said, I think you're going to see things happen that never happened before.
Do you think that if Trump were to lose, that they would have to drag him out of the White House kicking and screaming?
No, he would just sit there shaking his head. I told you people so.
Okay.
Now it's all yours. You're going to sow what you reap. Or reap what you sow.
Yeah. Here's another thing that's in the news. I'm just kind of throwing all these things out because I wanted to get your thought. Trump, late last night, or maybe early this morning, took to Twitter. He issues a stern warning to Iran that any attempt to kill or attack the U.S. ambassador in retaliation for the airstrike that killed that guy, Soleimani, will be met with a counterattack that will be 1,000 times greater in magnitude.
God bless him, huh?
Huh?
God bless that man. Are you kidding me? The people are standing up for that one. They're hoping they try something just to see Trump let loose on them. And you know what? That's what needs to happen. But see, he's flexing his muscles. He's not like these other guys. Obama, let's send him $150 billion. This will calm them down. Meanwhile, he gets a kickback for his mansion over there in the vineyards.
Yeah, yep. And also, speaking about over there, another nomination again for Trump to possibly get the Nobel Peace Prize. Because he's working with these Mideastern countries. And apparently there are a couple more now that are thinking about working out a peace agreement. So I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing something. He's already got the Arab Emirates and Israel to have a peace deal. So he's doing something, right?
Pop, let's face it. Most of the people want peace in the world. They don't want to kill their loved ones killed in a war. War brings nothing.
True, true.
War brings nothing. Okay, and we're tired of these other countries flexing their muscles because we had a bunch of cucuchis for presidents that had no backbone to do anything.
Yeah.
These people have a little bit more respect for the United States now. I can tell you that.
I think you're right. I think it takes a fear or whatever you want to call a healthy respect to get somewhere with a lot of these countries. Because if you're nice, you make nice with them, like you mentioned, you know, a plane load of money handed to Iran didn't do a damn thing for peace that I could see.
Nothing. And they'd do it again if they had the opportunity.
Correct.
I mean, look at that. They gave them $150 billion. The next thing you see is a picture of our sailors held at gunpoint on a boat.
And they just hung a guy that had the audacity to complain about the mullahs and the government in Iran. He was apparently some sort of a spokesman, or I'm not sure if he was a reporter or what he was in Iran, but that they're still in the medieval times there.
No question about it, Paul.
Absolutely.
And you know what? They want to try something. Trump's going to send them back to the caveman.
Well, yeah, you might do that. Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for calling in, and we'll talk again on Friday.
You got it, Paul. And may President Trump be with you.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. All right. The Master Barber himself. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what maybe Joe Biden, when he says things that maybe aren't quite so true, does the media jump on that? We'll talk about it. Peppermint twist.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And remember, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But if you cannot listen live, you can listen on podcast, thanks to Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. Just go to ourfreedomworks.com. And go up to the top, you'll see the podcast button. They're set up there in chronological order from the most recent back. And you'll know who the guest is that we're having and our top 10. What more can you... Hey, even if you listen live, you can go back and listen to us again. We're so damn good, you know? OurFreedomWorks.com. Now, you know, we always hear about how Donald Trump exaggerates. Or maybe just plain... tells an untruth. And the media jumping down, you know, all the Pinocchios and all that stuff that they do with fact-checking. Well, Joe Biden, and by the way, I'm looking at a story from The Federalist. Margot Cleveland wrote it. Joe Biden recently took to Twitter to push out the passive-aggressive proclamation that you deserve a president who tells you the truth. A favorite lie of Biden's is that Trump called the white supremacists who went to Charlottesville, Virginia, quote, very fine people, unquote. No amount of fact-checking on that one with the transcript of Trump's remarks. He specifically, Trump did, clarified, and this is a quote from him, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and white nationalists because they should be condemned totally. But Biden didn't seem to see that part, and he has continued to present the idea that Trump was in agreement with any neo-Nazi or white supremacist or Ku Klux Klansman, and he has never been that way. And all you have to do is look at the people he hires around him. He's got all kinds of black people that he has hired around him, and others of minority races. So then Biden featured this thing, elect me because I'm a nice guy, at the Democratic National Convention. Quote, this is him, just a week ago yesterday was the third anniversary of Charlottesville. He said, remember seeing those neo-Nazis and Klansmen and white supremacists coming out of the fields with lighted torches? No, I don't remember. Whoa, there goes my chair again. Are you trying to kill me, Ed? This chair, I'm never going to use this chair again. I always liked
it. That's the amusement chair. You put another quarter in it and it gives you a ride.
That's why I'm having this happen. You know, in fact, where is the stupid handle on it? Anyway, so before I was so rudely interrupted, I'm on the floor now. I'm sitting on the carpet trying to do the show. So he talks about, you know, seeing these Nazis and Klansmen and all this with lighted torches. I don't remember any stinking lighted torch. Do you? I mean, where does he come up with
you
this?
You have to understand, Biden, he says that in one sentence, and then he talks about the tricycle that he had as a child that the wheel fell off and, you know.
And he landed on his head.
And like, I have nothing to do with what's going on.
So he says, at that moment, this is Biden, at that moment I knew I'd have to run. No, you didn't. You went kicking and screaming into this. You didn't want to run at all. I remember that very well. He had no interest originally in running, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I think he was ready to retire to an old folks home. And the Democrats looked around and said, you know what, we better, Biden's, more people know Biden than any of these other clowns we got running. We better throw him in the mix.
I heard somebody that was saying that do you think that Biden is more popular than Hillary was at this time? During the elections?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that Biden comes off as a nicer guy. I mean, let's face it.
But I mean,
Hillary had some real issues with, like, a
I know, but you brought up lawn signs. I saw a lot of Hillary signs back then. It's hard to find a Biden sign.
That's what I was going to ask you when we had Andrew on, about whether or not you, Big Ed, saw any. I have not
seen
any Biden signs.
I've seen a handful in places where I expected to see.
Oh, you have?
Those.
Okay. And where, may I ask, was it like in a certain neighborhood? Or
yes.
Just, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair. And I think if we were in certain minority neighborhoods, mm-hmm. we would see Biden signs.
Yeah.
So that's fair. But I haven't seen any. And I mean, I drive around quite a bit all over the place. I haven't seen that many Trump signs either.
I can tell you this. I have not seen one rally consisting of one or two people or more for Biden.
Yes.
I have not seen that anywhere.
He does not generate enthusiasm. There's no question about it.
What does that tell you, though?
It tells you that people are going to vote either for Trump or against Trump. And
that's
Biden
exactly
is an
what
aside
is.
On this thing.
Yeah, the people on the left are even saying they're not for Trump. They just want to vote against Trump.
That's right.
Not for Biden.
Not
they want against. They're
they
voting
even,
against Trump.
They can't even verbalize what his platform
the
is.
The disgusting stuff that's coming out now with that he's... It's his fault because of the fires. It's his fault because of the hurricanes that we've got right now. Because in the last 3 years, he's ignored global warming. And evidently, the planet just said in the last 3 years,
yes.
You know what, the hell with it. Let's go.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Biden's crazy. Real interested in global warming. Where was he in 1973 through 2016?
Well, he had 8 years with Obama to do something about
it. Yeah, you're right. Now, before we get to our top 10, Ed, we have a hockey game tonight.
Yep.
our beloved Lightning may clinch it tonight.
And what did I tell you about Stamkos a couple days ago?
Well, what did you tell me?
I told you said, is Stamkos ever going to come back?
Yes.
And I said, well, he may be still there. There was reports he left the bubble. He was skating yesterday.
Oh, good.
In practice.
Do you think he'd play tonight?
I don't think. I think if they make the finals and they should, I think you'll see him there.
I think that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really great, because he's one of their leaders. But apparently they don't need him to beat the Islanders, and they've got game five tonight, so we'll see what happens. Okay, it is time for our top 10. We have the top 10 countries with the most competitive economics and economies, and it comes from the Institute for Management Development, and I suspect, Ed, that they took the survey before the virus. So, hopefully after the virus, maybe these will continue. So without further ado, number 10. The United States is 10th.
Wow.
You would think that they would have the most competitive, but apparently not. But they were third last year, so they went down seven spots. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Number 9.
It's Trump's fault, by the way.
Yeah, it is Trump's fault. Speaking of Trump, number 9 is the United Arab Emirates. They're the ones that helped fashion a peace agreement with Israel. So they're number 9. Interesting.
Should have charged them.
True. Okay, number 8, Canada. Now, Canada, I always think of Canada almost, because I came from Canada, I can say this, almost like another state. Mexico, the race is a little different, but Canada's the same as we are, But they're 8th. Number 7, Norway. Now, Norway, I don't know what they're doing right, but they went from 11 down to 7. With their economy. Number 6, right next door, Sweden. And Sweden went down from 9 to 6. And by the way, Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Finland and all those countries around there, they're not socialist countries. They have socialist programs, but they are capitalist countries, just so everybody knows. Okay, number 5. Hong Kong. Let's hope that they continue to be competitive. They were number 2, and now they're number 5. We're worried a little bit about mainland China and the way they're dealing with Hong Kong. Number 4, the Netherlands. Yes, the Netherlands. That, to me, is very interesting. I don't know exactly what they are doing. I remembered for a while that Amsterdam was like a big drug place, You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Got to be more than that, though. Number 3, Switzerland. They make cuckoo clocks, and I guess they make cocoa.
Great watches, too.
They make watches, and the truth is they're a huge banking center. So that's one of the reasons. Number 2, hey, back up to Denmark. Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'll tell you what, these northern Scandinavian countries do very well. They were number 8. They are number 2 now. All right, Ed, I don't think you have any idea, but you want to give it a shot as to what is the number one country with the most competitive economy? I'll give you a hint. It's an Asian area country.
China, I don't know.
Okay, do the drum thing. Actually, you're close, because it is an Asian. It's Singapore.
Singapore.
Yeah. Singapore and Malaysia, but I don't see Malaysia on here. But Singapore's number 1. All right. Thanks for listening. We will be back on Friday. Be careful out there, and remember that freedom works.
You say it's time to stay behind. All I wanted was to hold you.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
AP News. Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue. The AP has learned the city of Louisville, Kentucky, has agreed to pay several million dollars to the mother of Breonna Taylor and implement police reforms. Taylor's shooting death by police serving a narcotics warrant at her home set off months of protest in Louisville. In Waveland, Mississippi,
we're going to go inland.
Joseph Glasser is very worried about what Hurricane Sally is going to bring.
Several hours out, and it's already into the parking lot, so that makes me wonder how much worse it's might even be saying.
Sally is moving very slowly, and forecasters aren't sure yet where along the Gulf Coast it will reach land. It could happen late tonight or early tomorrow. Meantime, on the West Coast,
all of a sudden, the mountains were just ablaze.
John Matheny is in the midst of a wildfire in Arcadia, California.
A few days ago, it was way down to the east, and I wasn't worried about it. And all of a sudden, it just came across without any wind. I couldn't believe it.
People across the West are struggling under acrid yellowish-green smog from raging wildfires. Forecasters say this putrid air, measured as the worst on the planet, could last well into the week. Later today at the White House, President Trump will preside over the signing of a diplomatic deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Advisor and President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner says this is the beginning of the end of Israeli-Arab conflicts.
America has had a lot of expenditures in the Middle East. We've had a lot of troops. We've had a lot of our money and our attention focused there for the last 20 years. But this really signals the beginning of the president bringing people together.
Kushner was on NBC's Today Show. The World Trade Organization says Trump administration tariffs on Chinese goods totaling more than $200 billion are illegal. This is AP News.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company.
Sunday, the Rays were looking to win a 4-game series against the Boston Red Sox, and Tampa Bay came back from a 2-0 deficit, taking their only lead on this swing.
Kevin Smith, who lifts one in the air to deep left field, over the head of Chavis and over the cardboard cutouts. A long 2-run homer for Kevin Smith. His first is a Ray, and the Rays have taken their first lead. It's 3-2.
But unfortunately, right after the Rays went ahead 3-2, Boston answered in their next at-bat.
Swinging a ground ball right to third and bobbled by Wendell. Goes to Adames, looks home, throws the first, and they get the out. So it goes 5-6-3 on the out. But once Wendell was not able to handle it cleanly, there was no chance of getting Vasquez, who was going on contact, and the Red Sox take a 4-3 lead.
The Red Sox score 2 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, win 6-3, so the Rays settle for a split of the series off Monday. Tampa Bay will host Washington Tuesday. With a Rays report, I'm Neil Solo.